You know, folks, as we stop and we think about our Christian walk, I think about a lot of days, almost every day, I think about my relationship with my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I hope we all do, because if you don't have a relationship with Jesus, then we need to talk about it, and we need to get that relationship started. And it's easily done. But what happens when we get up and we decide in the morning? I've done this a million times. I've had 4 million jobs. I get up in the morning, I decide I'm going to get me a different job. I just go to town, look around, and say, well, I think I'd like to have a job over here with these people. And I stop and ask them. They say, no, we don't need you, Mike. I say, okay, I'll go over here and ask some other person. And that's how I always got a job. I look around in the kind of the field that I wanted to be in, and then I just go ask Randy, hey, you going to give me a job? Hey, yeah. And I worked with Randy and his dad for quite a little while there one time. And it's just, that's the way that we all do, folks. It's not just me, it's all. So when we go to town and we get a job, we're expecting a paycheck. You expect that you're going to get paid at the end of the week because you have bills to pay and all of that. Well, when you decide that you're going to be a disciple of Christ, you're not looking for a paycheck per se at the end of the week. You're looking for a relationship. A relationship like you, it's different than it is if you're married, but it's a relationship that you're going to have with God. It's a relationship that you're going to be drawn closer to Him. It's a relationship that's going to set you on fire to do something for Him. You're going to be wanting to say, Mike, what is it I can help you with? What is it that the church needs? And so we personally don't do it for a paycheck. We don't do it for our salvation. Ephesians 2 tells us that God saved you by His grace when you believed. It was God's grace. It was His love for you. When you believed, He saved you and offered you eternal life. And you can't take the credit for this. It is a gift from God. Salvation is not a reward for good things we have done, so none of us can boast about it. For we are God's masterpiece, and He has created us anew in Christ Jesus, so we can do the good things He planned for us long ago. It's not that we're doing it to earn salvation. No, that's not the deal. We're doing it because He loves us, and we love Him. When you love someone, you're eagerly wanting to do something for them. I think we do. All of us do. When we love someone here on this earth, it'd be your wife, your mom, dad, whoever, you're wanting to do for them. You're wanting to do something for your best friend. You're wanting to do something for the person sitting next to you in church that you've heard is sick and not feeling well. You're on the phone calling, what can I do that I can help you out with things in your life to make things easier? This morning, as we look at discipleship and we look at being a disciple of Christ, we're going to look at how we live, how we learn to be this disciple. We're going to look at sharing. That's a big thing. And serving. So we're going to be looking at about three or four things here that every one of us should have a heart for. If you're sitting here this morning, we should have a heart for Jesus Christ and a heart to serve His church. So we are the body of Christ. We make up the church, folks. And it's just like your hand, your thumb is over here with, it's got its own little purpose. You tuck it in, you ain't got one, you be wanting it back pretty quick. And your pointing finger, you know, we always want to point at somebody besides ourselves. We don't want to point this away. We want to point that away. So we got different fingers for different things. When I cut them two off, I had them all cut off and they put them back on. And for quite a little while there, I couldn't use them. So I was like this. What could I do with that thing? Nothing. I was waiting to see if they're going to grow back on or they're going to be taken off forever. And, you know, they grew back. How about that? That's pretty cool because I needed them. I really needed them. So we are like our body. Everything about our body has a reason. It, our eyes lets us see. Our nose lets us smell. We have a reason for everything. God made us that way. It's no different, folks, when we're in the church. God made us to be his servant, to be his hands and feet. I think we just heard that a while ago. To be his hands and feet. We're the only hands and feet he has. And so this morning, we're going to be looking at 1 Peter 4, 7 through 11. And so what's happening here is Peter's preaching to them that the end of the world is going to be coming soon. Well, it's been a while since Peter preached this sermon, and the end of the world has not got here yet. But I'm believing that it's not far away. I could be wrong. Who knows? I'm not the man, because Jesus said, I don't even know. The Father is the only one that knows. So it says, the end of the world is coming soon. Therefore, be earnest and disciplined in your prayers. Most important of all, continue to show deep love for each other. For love covers a multitude of sins. Cheerfully share your home with those who need a meal or a place to stay. God has given each of you a gift from his great variety of spiritual gifts. Use them well to serve one another. Do you have a gift of speaking? Then speak as though God himself were speaking through you. Do you have a gift of helping others? Do it with all the strength and energy that God supplies. Then everything you do will bring glory to God through Jesus Christ. All glory and power to him forever and ever. Amen. This is the reading of God's word for the people of God. Thanks be to God. So we see, folks, that Peter is saying the world's coming to an end. It's not going to be here long. This is what Jesus was telling them. I don't know when it's coming, Jesus is saying, to an end, but the Father does. And when he tells me, then I will come back. So Peter was just telling him what Jesus had told, telling them what Jesus had told him. So he says, you need to be earnest and disciplined in your prayers. Your Bible may say that you need to be sober. You need to be alert. There's different versions of different things, but what he is saying, folks, is we need to be disciplined in our prayers. We need to be at all times in prayer with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Because if you're not in prayer with your Lord, if you're not checking in with him, if you're not asking him what he would like for you to do, if you're not in touch with him in any kind of way, how in the world are you going to know when he tells you to do something? You're not. That still small voice is not going to speak to you. It's not going to have anything to do with you because you're not in touch with him. I know one time I was needing a job, and the job I wanted, I knew it's not going to happen. That job's not going to happen. It's never an opening for that job. So I said, Lord, I know there's never an opening what I want to do, but I need you to give me a direction. So I'm going by this place. It's where I wanted to work. And he said, turn in. I heard a still small voice tell me, turn in. And no, I don't believe that. And I just went on down the road. I said, okay, do it your way, big boy. And I whipped that truck around in the road. And I went back and I walked in and I said, I know this is crazy because I know y'all don't hire nobody until somebody dies. But I said, I would like to have a job. And this guy says, well, you know what? I've just been thinking about hiring somebody else. He said, sit down here and talk to me. I sat down there and talked to him, and I went to work. Folks, that's because when you pray, and you ask God for something, or you tell him you need a direction, so many times in my life, he has directed my path, but I didn't listen. I went my way, because Mike knows a whole lot more than the Lord knows. So we need to be learning to listen. We need to be in prayer. We need to be in tune with our Lord. And if we are, we will hear all kinds of things that he's asking you to do. He's telling you that I need you to help me do this or that. And like that story Chris was telling this morning, that guy thought he was just answering this old lady's, you know, wishes. And really, God was causing the devil to buy the groceries. You know, whether that's true or not, I don't know. But that's pretty good. That's a pretty good little story. So what we have to think about, folks, is we're come to the body of Christ and you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. There's opportunity after opportunity after opportunity to serve inside your church. I don't care if it's Grace Life Church or if it's a different church. There's opportunities to serve inside your church. And when we're having those opportunities, you'll think, well, I don't fit there. Now, if Brian asked me to sing, I said, hey, whoa, wait a minute. We won't have a soul there next Sunday if I sung this Sunday, because there's nobody going to come back. But now, Brian can sing and everything's fine, but I can't do it. I know that. So I don't fit there. I don't fit up here as much as I wished I could. I don't fit up here. So I'm not up here asking these boys to let me do anything. I don't even know how to hook anything up. But, folks, there's other places to serve. There's places to serve that other people don't want to serve. But that's your knack. That's your knack. That's what you like to do. That's where you like to be. You know, there's not many folks in here that enjoy just getting out and going over in the other side of town and hanging out over there. I do. I go over there a lot and hang out. I like it. But that's not for everybody. I'm just saying there's places and people that fit in different places. So that's what I want you to be thinking about this morning. When he was saying, is to keep and continue to be in prayer, to be sober in prayer, and to love each other. If you don't love the person you're sitting next to, if you're not willing to talk to the person you're sitting next to, folks, you got a heart problem. You got one worse than myself. I got one. I know I do. But if you're not willing to be a friend in church, a neighbor in church, but whoever's sitting by you, if you don't want them people sitting by you, you got a heart problem. And you got a bad one. And so we have to stop and we have to think about, is our love for each other where it should be? Maybe, maybe not. You ever think about, I accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior because I want to have eternal life with him and the Father. I want to be in heaven with them. But when I get to heaven and he says, come on in, Mike, and he's going to put me down here next door to this fella I don't like, I'm going to say, wait a minute, I'd like to sell this piece and move over here on this side of town. It's not going to be that way, folks. You don't know who your neighbor's going to be. But you're going to be there with a lot of people. And when you're there with a lot of people, you're going to be there where God wants you to be. And I don't know how he'll have us serving. I don't know what we'll be doing. We'll be sitting at the feet worshiping him most all day. I'm hoping that's going to be awesome because I'll be able to sing. I'll be at the choir. If he asked me where you want to sign up, Mike, I'm going to tell him I want to be in the choir. Because to me, that's where I would love to be able to serve. I can't. So that's where I'd like to be. You know, every one of us has places we'd like to serve. Maybe we can't because we don't fit there. But he was telling us that love covers a multitude of our sins. So cheerfully, share your home with those who need a meal or a place to stay. Deep love, folks, it covers a lot of sin. When you have deep love for other people, it covers a world of sin. It takes away a lot of hatred. It takes away lots of things that we have to deal with daily in this world. Love is the greatest of all. It tells us that in the Bible, that love is the greatest. So folks, if you don't love, how are you going to love God? How are you going to love Jesus? How are you going to love the people in heaven? How are you going to be, why would you even want to be there? Why are you wasting your time to be here today? And so we have to stop and to think about, do we truly love the people around us? Do we? It shows, folks, in everything we do. It shows in the way we act toward others. It shows in our speech. It shows in the way we, when someone sits down beside us, oh, man, you know, he didn't sit down here with me. But it shows. Everything we do shows the love of Christ. And so, he tells us that we have different gifts. You ever think about what your gift might be? You ever think about what God might have given you to do? You ever think about on Monday morning what I need to get up and do for God? For my church? For the body of Christ? What do I need to do? Or do you just get up and say, well, I'm good. I probably won't be there Wednesday, but I'll be back Sunday. I'm good. That's good that you come on Sunday. But there's a lot of things that has to be done throughout the week, folks. And it's up to us to get these things done. If you want your church to grow, if you want your church to be what it should be, then you have things in the community that you need to be doing. We're thinking in the next couple of weeks, we'll probably put out some sign-up sheets for some ministry teams, some things that we have going on in the church that we need some help in. That don't mean that you go have to walk up there and sign up just because Mike was talking about it. Well, I know if I don't sign up, Mike's going to say, okay, why didn't you sign up? No, that's not got anything to do with it. I don't care if you sign up or not. But that's between you and God. That's between you and your Lord. That's not got anything to do with Mike. I don't have any control over that. But that's between you and him. You and him of what's going on. And our ministry, kind of ministry team that does commodities, it will be Wednesday will be commodity day. 9 a.m. at Central School will be commodities. Don't think we're going to have many. That don't mean don't nobody come. That just means we don't think we're going to have as many as we normally do. So we won't need maybe the buggies or the resources that we usually do. But folks, that is a time of serving. That is somebody's talent. That is somebody's gift right there, and an opportunity to serve. After that, we're going to be doing it every third Tuesday of every month. It's going to be a monthly thing starting after this month. So you're thinking, oh man, we got to do that every month. That's crazy. Well, I'm just saying, we don't know what it's going to look like. We don't have a clue. But it's going to be different because the commodities, as we've been used to and know, are changing. So, folks, it's an opportunity to serve in a different way. And it may be that it'll even be to where some of the women can serve in it as it changes and not have to hurt themselves. I don't know yet because it's all new to me just like it is to everyone else. But it tells us that if we have a gift of speaking or teaching or a gift of helping others, we need to do it with all of our strength and energy that God supplies. You know, everything when you get up of a morning and we think about sharing what we have with others, we think about serving others, The first thing I think about when I get up for morning, folks, I don't know about y'all, but the first thing I think about is the strength and the time I have today doesn't belong to Mike. It's not Mike's time. It's not Mike's strength. It's God's. He has given me the strength to get up and face this day. He's given me the time of this day. If I don't get what Mike needs done today, then it'll be there for tomorrow. So it takes my thinking and knowing that everything I have belongs to God. And the reason that I do this is to glorify God. Everything that I do during the day is to glorify God. So we need to be thinking that it is about God and not about Mike. It's about God and not about Irvin. It's about God and not about Brian. It's about God. We're glorifying God in everything we do. And why is that? Because we love Him. Because He died upon a cross that we can have eternal life. And we want to show Him that we love Him by serving others. That's what we do, folks. Or that's what we should be doing. And if we're not, then we got a heart problem. If you get up this morning and you get a phone call and somebody needs something, and you think, golly, Bill, I ain't got time to do that today. I got this other planned out to do today. I got a yard that's knee high. I got to get it mowed. It's going to rain. I got to mow my yard. I'm sorry. I got to get this yard mowed before this rain gets here. No, you don't. No, you don't. It don't matter if your yard's knee high, if it's not. Just do what God needs you to do. Do what God lays on your heart to do. Not what Mike lays on your heart, but what God lays on your heart. And folks, I guarantee you, if you listen, if you pray earnestly, like it says in the very beginning of this scripture, and you're sober in your prayer, and you don't be worried about asking for everything for me. I did ask that day for a job, and he told me to turn around and go back and get one right there where I had said they don't hire nobody, so I'm going on down the road. And I did. And I worked there for quite a while. So we have to stop and listen to what God tells us and when He tells us. Because that still small voice in the back of your head, it could be God speaking to you. It probably is God speaking to you. And especially if you have a relationship with God, you need to be hearing what he has to say. Because He is asking you to rely upon Him. Not somebody else, but Him. You know, as we stop and we think about discipleship, it covers lots and lots of things, folks. It covers lots of things. And as our church is beginning to pick up and grow, and we need the things that we need, we are always eager to sign a sheet of what we enjoy doing. Maybe, just maybe, it would require you to sign a sheet over here of something that you don't enjoy doing. Because that would mean you'll have to step out of your comfort zone. That would mean that you'll have to do it for God and depend upon Him to help you through. Not just doing it what you know and how you know it, but doing it for Him. And when you're out of your comfort zone, you will depend upon God, I guarantee you. Because I'm out of my comfort zone every time I step up here. And I depend upon Him. And as I depend upon Him, He gives me something to tell y'all. Every time. Might not be what you like. Might not be what you really wanted to hear. But it's God speaking. It's like a vase being filled up with water, a bucket, and poured out. He fills you up, folks, and He will pour you out if you will let Him. It's up to you whether you're going to let Him. Because if you don't let Him, He won't fill you up, and He won't pour you out. He'll leave you alone. And that's what I want you to stop and think about. As we think about this discipleship and we think about the things of the church that need to be happening. and the ways that you could serve or would serve. I want you to stop and think about it, because things are, as winter comes on, things will be opening up, opportunities will be opening up. Christmas is here. Thanksgiving's here. We got lots of opportunities to serve in lots of different ways. And I hope that we've seen through the shoebox and all of that, we've seen lots of things happening. And so you got lots of ways that you can serve. And folks, I want you, one other thing, and I'm going to close. I want you to stop and think about it. Charity is wonderful. Christmas is coming. Charity is wonderful. It's pretty easy to reach in your pocket, pull out a dollar, and throw it in the Salvation Army, or throw it in a plate that we got here for something. It's easy that you can do that and feel good about yourself. But when you stop doing it for yourself and doing it for others, how did you feel then? You feel twice as good. When you do things for others instead of for yourself, then you begin to have this different feeling inside you. You begin to grow. And the next thing you know, your relationship with your Lord and Savior grows. And the next thing you know, you have the great desire every day to get up and do something for someone else instead of for you. Because all that is when you write that check or you take that money out of your pocket and throw it in a bucket, all that's done is made you feel good. Well, I've done a lot then. I threw a couple $1,000s in that bucket, and that's going to really help them out. It will. It'll buy a lot of stuff. But the truth is, they probably need hands and feet more than they need the check, or as much as they need the check. So you need to think about it. We're coming into a season of giving. That's wonderful. Giving is wonderful. But sometimes giving of your time is what God wants. I was at Vanderbilt, and this young lady, it was Lent, and this young lady said, "Well, I don't know what I'm going to give up." And she said, I don't know what to give up for Lent. I said, "Ma'am, I just asked you a question." I said, "You're thinking about giving up chocolate or coffee?" I said, "I'm not going to give up my coffee." I said, I can't. I'd have a spell, be up here with you for a month probably. But I said, "You ever stop and think about giving up yourself? Let's give up ourselves and do for others." I said, "Do you give up yourself very often to do for others?" She said, "Well, I'm a nurse. That's all I do." I said, "I understand. But do we go from nursing out into the world doing for others?" She just looked at me. She said, "It gives me something to think about, doesn't it?" I said, "That's true." So, folks, there's a world of ways that we don't even think about giving. We don't even think about the other people that we can do for the Lord instead of just always thinking about us. Let's think about Him. Think about others. As you think about this for the next few weeks, think about Christmas, Thanksgiving, everything that's coming up and the things that's going to be to do here. And let's get involved. And let's take a big part in what we have to offer this year. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.